Good morning. Lovely to see everybody here this morning, and especially a warm welcome to any visitors that we have, although I'm your visitor, so I'll just welcome myself. It's obviously the week that school goes back because it's sunny. So school goes back. I think the organisations will be gearing up to get back as well. And our two churches start on a new journey at the moment. So we pray for God's guidance in all that we do this year. It's going to be a busy year. It says in Galatians chapter 2, "The life I live is not my life, but the life which Christ lives in me." Let's praise God this morning. Let's sing hymn number 784 in Mission Praise, "Ye Servants of God, Your Master Proclaim." Hymn number 784. Let's pray. In our hymn we sang, "God ruleth on high, almighty to save, and still he is nigh, his presence we have. You are all-powerful, Lord, you rule on high, and yet you still come to us, your people. We take time this morning to worship you and to give you our praise. But Lord, we thank you too that you come down to us and walk with us throughout our lives. We thank you that, powerful as you are, you care for us so much. You sent your Son to die for us, to take away the sins of the world. Help us, Lord, to be worthy of that great sacrifice. We confess now that we have not always done what we should have, or thought what we should have. We have allowed anger to take over us and have been critical of other people. We ask you now, Lord, to forgive us for the mistakes we have made and the people we may have hurt. Help us to start afresh, trying to show your love to those around us by our actions and by our words. We ask this in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven,
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power,
Now, I'm going to have a wee bit of a quiz, a wee bit of a challenge, but I think Alexander's going to come and give me a wee hand, aren't you? Because we have here a vase with water in it, but he's going to hold it so that you can see what happens. I'm going to ask you, I'm going to get you to put your hands up. I'm tall, but not at all. And tell me, when I show you these items, whether they're going to sink or whether they're going to float. Okay? So we'll get a few items and see what might happen. Right, so let's go for this one. Right, so I would call that a chucky. You might call it a small stone, but I've got these in my garden. So is it going to sink? Hands up if you think it's going to sink. Right, okay. Yeah, anybody think it's going to float on the top? No? Right, okay. Quite right. Well done. You did that well. What about this one? We've got a duck. Is it going to sink? Hands up if you think it's going to sink. Is it going to float? Yeah? Yeah? Okay. Not only is it going to float, but it flashes different colours as well. I like that duck. I've got three of them in my bath. Right, okay. So we've got those two, right? Now, this is a wooden clothes peg. So, do we think that this is going to sink? Hand up if we think this is going to sink. One or two? Hands up if you think it's going to float. All right. It's going to float. Well done, those that thought it was going to float. Now, get two more. In here, we've got a piece of soap. It did look like a lemon this morning before I went to Ardia. But it is a piece of soap, small piece of soap. Hands up if you think it's going to sink. Hands up if you think it's going to float. It's going to splash you. Yep, sink. So those of you who said sink were correct. Final one. Here's a real lemon. Hands up if you think it's going to sink. Yeah, hands up if you think it's going to float. It's going to splash you.
I've got it.
It floats. Thank you, sir. Thank you. So lots of different things there. Some of them sink and some of them float. I wonder if, what if I get into that? Hands up if you think I would sink. Hands up if you think I couldn't get into it. True enough. Okay, so now you've been having your holidays, but I'm sure that some of you have been in the water. So have you been paddling in the water, swimming, diving in, going down chutes, in at the beach? Yeah? Yeah? Did you enjoy it? Yes. Good, good. And so, hands up if you can swim. You can all swim. Brilliant. Excellent. It's a great thing to be able to swim. Well, when you swim, you go through the water, don't you? Or you maybe go that way, but I go that way, right? So you go through the water. We've talked about you can dive into the water. You can float, just like some of these things float. You can float, how many of you can float on top of the water? Yeah? Yeah? Okay, most of you. Good. So, can anybody walk across the top of the water? No? No? He's looking at me going, you're a nut. You could walk across the bottom of the swimming pool, couldn't you? From the shallow end to the deep end. And the water would just get higher and higher. But eventually, you would have to swim. But none of us can walk on top of the water. But there's a story in the Bible that talks about Jesus walking on top of the water. He walks in the water towards the boat where his disciples are. The disciples are in the boat and it's a bit windy, big waves. They're not making very much headway. And he walks across the water and he steps into the boat and the wind and the waves calm down. And there's three things I want to talk about very, very briefly. The first thing is that just shows us how amazing God is, that God can get Jesus to do that. He can give him the power to be able to walk across the water that nobody in this church and none of us can do. So God is amazing and his power is amazing. Second thing is, Jesus walked across the water to help his friends. They were in trouble and he helped them and he sorted out the problem. And God will help us if we've got problems. He'll come to us and he'll help us with our problems. And the last thing is that Jesus went and helped his friends, as we've said. God wants us to help people around us as well. So he doesn't want us just to take everything that he gives us. He wants us to be kind, to be helpful, and to be loving to the people round about us. Okay, so hopefully that's the story that we get from our wee experiment today. And I'll maybe give it to somebody to take out so that the soap doesn't melt during the service. But we'll do that. But first of all, we're going to sing Our God is a Great Big God. Do we know that one? Yeah? Well, that's good. That's a good start. But Ross does have it on the thing. Now, do you know the actions? So you'll find the actions there. Any young person from the back to the front can do the actions if they wish. You don't have to. Let's sing Our God is a Great Big God.
Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hands. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hands. He is higher than a skyscraper, and he's deeper than a submarine.
Let's pray. Lord, we ask you to bless the young people here this morning. Help them to come to know you and to know that you are there to help them in all that they do and to know that you are beside them every day of their lives. Amen. Okay, you going out to summer? Bye. Yeah, brilliant, thanks. Having sung that twice today, I'm exhausted. So if I get verbally dyslexic, please excuse. First reading is from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. And it's the story of Jesus walking in the water. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And in Hebrews chapter 12, just the first two verses, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Amen, and may God bless this reading of his word. Our next hymn is a favourite of mine, so we're singing that. Hymn number 50, in Mission Praise, "Be Still for the Presence of the Lord." Hymn number 50. Sermon this morning, the choice of the sermon, the story of Jesus walking on the water, is nothing to do with the bad weather we've had for the past 4 or 5 weeks, with intermittent showers and sunshine, showers and sunshine. As I was preparing it, I might have done the story of Noah, if that was the case, because it was torrential the day I started. This, however, is a very, very well-known story, one that we've heard and read so many times, one that we know so well. I don't know about you, but sometimes if I'm reading the Bible, if I come to a passage I know like this, I sometimes skip through it more quickly than I do with other passages I don't know so well. Because I know the story. I know what happens. Jesus walks in the water, and Peter sinks when he tries. But I realised that, of course, I'm completely missing the point. Because although we know the content of the story so well, we should be asking ourselves, why did Jesus walk on the water? What's the story telling us? And I think the story reminds us of a number of things. It reminds us of God's power. And it also teaches us some important lessons about faith and our relationship with God. A bit of background helped me with this. They've just fed the 5,000. The disciples and Jesus together have just fed the 5,000. And this is the very next part in Matthew's Gospel. Jesus wants to go to the mountain to pray. He wants to be alone. So he sends his disciples off across the Sea of Galilee to where they're going next. He'll meet them up later. And he sends the people away. So what was the disciples' task? Well, it's not terribly wide at that point. It's only about 4 miles. It should have taken them about 3 or 4 hours, it's reckoned. But interestingly, we read that it's in the fourth watch of the night that Jesus walked across the water. And that's between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the morning. So they've not really been getting very far, very fast. So we'll keep that in the back of our mind as we go on with the passage. I think the first thing that the passage reveals to us is the power of God. As I said to the children, we can't walk on the water. I have tried windsurfing and I have tried water skiing. Each of those, you've got to have something man-made between you and the surface of the water. And anyway, I spend more time in the water than I do on top of the water, whether there's a board there or not. So none of us can do this. It also says, not only did he walk in the water, but it says, and when they climbed into the boat, that's Peter and Jesus, the wind died down. So here's two amazing things then about God's power. First of all, that Jesus can walk on the water. Every time Jesus does something amazing like this, the miracle points not to him, but to God, and to God's power. And there's no doubting that in this particular passage. He's reminding us, he's reminding the people of the time, and he's reminding the disciples and us of God's power. And secondly, when he steps into the boat and the wind and the waves obey him and calm down, it just reminds us of God's absolute power when he can control nature in the way he does. You can't read this story and not be amazed by God's power. But what struck me was that the disciples were surprised. The disciples have been with him for some time now. They've seen him perform many miracles. They've just been with him at the feeding of the 5,000. They've heard what he has to say to them. And yet, when he steps into the boat, it's at that point that they seem to suddenly realize and they say, truly, you are the Son of God. Of all people, they must have known. And yet they didn't seem to have understood everything that God was trying to tell them through what Jesus was doing. This story appears in 3 out of 4 of the Gospels, and in Mark there's a wee clue perhaps to help us here. In Mark it says, then he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they hadn't understood about the loaves. So the disciples were with Jesus during the feeding of the 5,000, but they hadn't really fully understood what it meant. They understood that Jesus had power, but they didn't seem to understand that Jesus was power, that God's power worked through Jesus. But at this point in the journey, the light begins to dawn. Maybe this is their light bulb moment. And everything that's gone before, all the amazing things they've seen, all the things that Jesus has said, have all come together at this moment, and it's all made sense, and they've said, truly, you are the Son of God. Now, you can see this as depressing. How on earth could they not have realized who he was? They'd been with him so long. Or you could see it as encouraging, because it gives us hope. Because I think sometimes we can be a bit like the disciples. Even if we're involved in the church, we can be busy around the church, we can be active, we can be doing lots of things, but sometimes we just don't understand what God's trying to tell us. We're in that boat with the disciples. We're struggling through the storms of life. We, like them, are on a journey, trying to understand who Jesus is and what God is trying to tell us. And just when we get to the point when we're exhausted and we're not making any headway, he reveals himself to us. We need Jesus to walk on the water every so often so that we can be reminded of his divinity, of God's power, and can be jolted back to realise what God is trying to get us to understand. The story also tells us a bit about faith, because if you notice, Jesus comes to the disciples. Now, in the other story, where Jesus is in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus actually is in the boat with the disciples. The storm, he's sleeping. There's a storm. The disciples become afraid. They waken him up and ask him for help. That story is a wonderful reminder of how God will help us through our storms in life, how he calms our fears and helps us to cope. But what's exciting in this story is that the disciples needed him, and Jesus was far away, but Jesus knew. He was on the mountaintop praying, and it says, when evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. And it's at that point that Jesus walks across to the disciples. Now, that made me think, firstly, sometimes we think God's far away, that he's not interested in us, that we're on our own in the world. We just need to get on with it. And this passage reminds us that he is there for us. He's there for all of us, all of the time. He sees our struggles, and he comes to us, ready to calm the storm and help us to deal with what's holding us back, even if we haven't asked him. I think if we're honest, we've all faced times when we've felt alone, when we've not felt close to God, and yet this story reminds us that's not the case. He's always there, he knows when we need him, and even if we don't ask him, he will seek us out. This part of the story also reminds us that sometimes we try to go alone. In the other story, the disciples were afraid, woke Jesus up, and asked for his help. There's no indication in this story that they prayed to anyone. There's no indication in any of the versions that they asked for help. They're going it alone. Quite often we forget to ask God to help us, and we go it alone. Once things get tough, we'll maybe ask him to help. We might actually ask him, we might pray for some guidance, but we don't actually ask him to be with us through the bad and the good. I think we keep him up our sleeves sometimes for when things go wrong, so he's our insurance policy. But that's not what God wants. God wants us to be close to him throughout our lives, in the good times and the bad. He wants to be there at the centre of our lives. And the final lesson from the story is that we can do anything if we trust him completely. Peter was full of faith, and he said, if it's really you, then tell me and I'll come across the water to you. And Jesus' reply was very simple, come. Now, some people have been very critical of Peter because, you see, he didn't trust God, so he started sinking. And perhaps there is an element of that. But you know, I saw something different in it this time when I read it. Peter did trust Jesus. He had the courage to step out of the boat, and he did walk towards him. And it was only when he allowed himself to be distracted by the wind that he took his eyes off Jesus and began to sink. So, was it a lack of faith in Jesus' power? Not necessarily. Did he take his eye off what was important? Yes. Peter sank because he took his eyes off what was important and focused on the problem. And God doesn't want us to focus on the size of our problems. He wants us to focus on him. And if we focus on him enough, he will help us to solve our problems. If we're struggling, he asks us to lay that problem firmly at his door. Focus on him, and he'll help us to get through. I used the upper room, and it was interesting that after I had prepared this and had sent Ross a note of what we were going to do on Monday, there was a reading from Samuel, and it was a story of someone called Hannah. And Hannah in this story, Hannah couldn't have children. That was her problem. She couldn't have children. And her husband's other wife was really being nasty to her and making her upset and saying terrible things to her. And she really wasn't happy. She was very upset. She just didn't know what to do. And so she went off and she prayed to God. And then it says in Samuel, then she got up, she went and had something to eat and wasn't sad anymore. It was instantaneous. She prayed and then just left it to God. The person who wrote this said that's not how she deals with her problems. If she's got a problem, she'll pray and she'll ask God for help, but she'll still worry about the problem till it's sorted. But in Hannah's case, she just prayed to God and then assumed that an answer would come. So what about ourselves? How often, like Peter, do we take our eyes off Jesus and step out on our own only to find things going wrong? I think our lives are a bit like the waves. The waves have peaks and troughs. I know waves have peaks and troughs because I get seasick. I'm that green person on the boat that you do not wish to sit beside, just in case. But we have peaks and troughs in our life, good times and bad. We have peaks and troughs in our relationship with God, times when we're close and times when we're not. There are times when we feel really close to God. We're fired up, we pray regularly, we're involved in church life. Life is good, we feel strong, we're energized. And then we take our eyes off Jesus. We're really busy. We're doing lots of things. And by the time we get to bed, well, I'm really actually too tired. It's too late. I've got something to get up and do in the morning. I'll read it tomorrow. And then tomorrow becomes the next day and the next. And we get further and further away from God. We carry on with our busy lives. And God's sort of there. But he's not here. He's not in the center of our lives. We've taken our eyes off God. And we're sinking into the day-to-day routines of life on our own. Now, the passage from Hebrews gives us a wee clue as to what we can do. It says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. God knows us, and he knows we get caught up easily in the day-to-day things that distract us, but he's given us a solution. Let's try and get rid of the things that distract us. Let's try and not focus on the things that distract us. If we focus on him, we'll actually have more time to deal with life and the things that we need to do. So he wants us to, first and foremost, fix our eyes on him. Just imagine how that story might have ended if Peter hadn't taken his eyes off Jesus and he hadn't let something distract him. So this passage then, why did he walk in the water, was the question. He walked in the water to remind us that God is the source of power. He walked in the water to remind us that God will come to us even when we don't go to him. And he walked in the water to show us that even when we are in trouble, God is there every step of the way when we run our race through life. As we live our life, God is there every step of the way, but we need to focus on him, or like Peter, we'll sink into the daily things of life that are less important. I'd like to finish with a chorus that we used to sing at school, but don't worry, I'm not going to sing it, because I can't. I'm not good at singing. It's only got 4 lines, but I think it really says it all. I don't know if you know this one, Andrew. When the road is rough and steep, fix your eyes upon Jesus. He alone has power to keep. Fix your eyes upon him. Jesus is a gracious friend, one on whom we can depend. He is faithful to the end. Keep your eyes upon him. To God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be all honour and praise, now and forevermore. Amen. Now, I like this hymn, but we don't sing it a lot, and I wasn't sure if you sang it. It's hymn number 712 in Mission Praise. I didn't know that till I sent the order of service to Ross, and I think it was Mary that found it for me. I think the words are so apt. In the chorus it says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." So I've asked if we could perhaps hear the verse and the chorus first before we stand to sing. Let's worship God in the giving of our offering. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that no matter where we are and what we are doing, you can see us and you know what is in our hearts. You know every one of us by name, and you know when we are in trouble. We thank you that even when we don't remember to come to you, you come to us and walk beside us through our pain, our sadness, our fear, and our joy. You, Lord, are our faithful friend, the one on whom we can depend, and we thank you for that. We think today of those who are in trouble, those we know and those we don't know. They may be worried about ill health, concerned for the future, not sure where their next meal is coming from, displaced from their home because of fire. We take a moment now in silence to remember those close to us who most need your help. Lord, we ask you to be with them now and help them to find the strength to carry on. Bring them your comfort and your peace. We also ask that you will open our eyes to the needs of those around us and help us to play our part in helping others. We pray for the world, a world full of problems, and yet a world where good things happen too. May those in positions of power across the world be moved by compassion in the decisions they make. Now we ask you to take these, our offerings. Use them for the work of the church in this place and beyond, and use us in your service. We heard in Galatians, "This life is not my life, but the life which Christ lives in me." Help us, Lord, to live our lives for you. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before we sing our final hymn, I've given to Catherine a wee note about a concert that is happening in October. So if you like singing or if you like hearing people sing, please come on October the 11th to Ardeer, and we're going to have the Ayr Community Gospel Choir. This is a choir run by the Salvation Army, and if you can sing, you can join the choir. If you can't sing, you can join the choir, and they'll put you beside somebody who can. So I could get into that choir. And if we're very lucky, the person who leads them, who is a fabulous singer, will also sing something. So they'll be singing some songs, both secular and religious, and also giving us the opportunity to sing two or three as well. So please feel free to come along. However, we're going to finish today by singing hymn number 770 in Mission Praise. We've been talking about the storms of life, so how can we not finish with "Will Your Anchor Hold in the Storms of Life"? Now, the BB folk that are here, you shouldn't need the words. So if I watch you, if I see you looking at the words, you get points off. I'm a scout, of course, but I am the BB elder, so I'm allowed to choose this hymn because I'm the BB elder. So we're going to sing hymn number 770, "Will Your Anchor Hold?"
Thank you.
And now may our gracious God shield us all day long, and may we dwell under his protection today and forevermore. Amen.